Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I didn't come preach. I mean, when I say it, I really, that was not. I do want to share this with you, though. I dropped my wife off in Maryville. I picked her up there Thursday, and I've been able to spend the weekend with her. We were going out with some friends Thursday evening, so I picked her up at my daughter's house because she had to drop Eliza off. So we left her vehicle there all weekend. We didn't need it, and so I had to take her back. We had to get Eliza tonight. Grace is working. And so I left them and was heading back toward the house. You know when the Lord talks to you.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm not talking about those things, but you know that.
Yeah.
And then there is no variables in their shadow of turning, right? It's the same every time.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Jesus. I don't mean me. Now, what I want you to get in that is that I have to really discern that. There are times that I have to take time and see who's talking to me and make sure it's not me.
Amen.
Talking to me. Right? And then there are times that, you know.
Me too.
And the Lord spoke to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, everything got still, right?
Yeah.
I was driving down the road in that Jeep. I was just about home. I was down there at Rocky Branch on 321. And he said, "Why don't you go to church?" And I was like, "I don't know." Then I did. Because, you know, and that's what I got was. It's like, I was like, "Well, where am I going to go?" He said, "Go to New Providence." And I said, okay. I don't know if I'm going to make it on time, you know, but I didn't have my wife. It's amazing.
Probability.
No, you can actually make it. I mean, if you don't, I know some of you are going to hear this and not appreciate it, but I'm telling you right now, if you go anywhere with my wife, you're going to show up late. It don't have to be church. It can be anything.
Right.
And I was like, "Well, I can make it." And I want you to understand this. I'm glad that I did.
Amen.
I'm gonna give you what I've got now. I don't show up.
Thank you, Lord.
If I show up, it's not being jealous or zealous. Lord, give me a job to do.
That's right.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
I like to tell people this, too. He didn't call me to argue for him.
That's right.
He didn't call me to fight about things. He called me to preach.
Amen.
And so what I do is I bring it, and then you do with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Amen.
God help us.
First chapter of the book of James, if you will. I'm going to read the, 17 verses, the first 17 verses, first chapter of the book of James, 1 through 17, and then I'm going to go over in the fourth chapter and read a couple of verses there. I don't know, let's say, starting about verse 5, so, His will bear with me. I honestly didn't come prepared. I didn't bring my reading glasses. I do have this really good big print Bible, and so I think I'm going to get through this. You just pray for me that we're able to give you what the Lord gave
Amen.
Us. And I'm thankful, by the way, for what I felt when I walked in. That's worth it all.
Amen.
By the way, that's worth it all. That's why we congregate. By the way, I want to say this before I start. That's why we come to church.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
There's a lot of reasons people come to church. There's a lot of reasons people come to church. This is the reason you should be in church.
Yeah.
Amen. If you don't feel what I feel right now, you need to come to know that in your relationship with God.
Amen.
And that's something that we work on every day. Every day. Now, it's not just church. It's not just here that we're working on it. We work on it every day. But you come here, you're here on the seventh day, It's a day you're allowed to rest, folks. It's a day you ought to be here worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
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 Why? Because he gave it to you. That's gave it all to you.
That's enough. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's enough. Yeah. All right. Thank James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You hear me? That's going to happen. And by the way, he says, count it all joy. When it starts hitting you in the face, don't be downtrodden.
Give me the Lord.
Yeah.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Lord help me.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, yes, that giveth all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that is wavering is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Yes. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. You understand what that means?
Oh,
go ask. If you need it, go ask for it. But you better go on. Like you go, whether you get it or whether you don't, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they answered Nebuchadnezzar, when he said, what God will deliver you out of my hand? They said, we're not sure to answer you. They said, our God is able. They never said he's going to. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't know if he was going to or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Not even the smell of smoke.
That's it.
Whether he did or whether he didn't know, they was going in there.
Amen.
Thinking not. Now that's what he's talking about.
Help me, Lord.
Let not a man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice when that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because of the flower of grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth off. Falleth, and the grace and fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in all his ways.
Yeah.
I'm gonna touch on that in a minute.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of times when we kind of make a difference. That's not what this is. That's not making a difference, by the way. When that hits you, Job had everything, right? That's what Satan said.
Yeah.
Does Job fear God for naught? You've got a hedge built around him. God took it from him.
Amen.
And said, everything he's got's yours. Amen. Today, everything you got in the world, I'm talking about right now, these things that we'll have and we'll possess and we'll want to hang on to them. And when we see them taken away, we get mad at the Lord. And this is telling you that you need to pay attention, folks. That you need to pay attention that these things happen. All right? Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, listen, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down with the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now over in the fourth chapter, starting in the fifth verse, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's all we've got. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name.
I think there needs to be some clarification in the world today. Now, folks, I don't know how you feel about things. I don't. I'm not here enough to really know. Okay? I come here because the Lord said go there. All right? I don't know what you do in your life. I don't know what's being preached here on Sunday morning. I don't. All right? I want you to take this for what it is. A man driving down the road, getting sent over here to speak to you for a minute. The book of James, he says, for you first of all, not to give a whole lot of thought, and you fall into divers temptations. And I would like to take for just a minute, and I want you to understand this. We take this a lot of times, and we'll use it for a shield that does not work. The law, right? All 10 churches, we bought the 10 commandments. Them hardens there that you can beat together. There's a lot of times, folks, that people will hold up those 10 commandments and they'll tell you, and by the way, this is not anything that's new. Everything I'm about to tell you, none of it is new. Bible says, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new under the sun. There ain't nothing that you've thought about, ain't been thought about before. Why? Because God made us. God knows what we are. God knows every bit about us. And a lot of times we like to attribute that just to the fact that he made us special. But the fact of the matter is there's been a lot just like you come before you, and God knows you just for what you are. Why? Because we don't change. Amen. Today, the law didn't work. You know why the law didn't work? Because there are a whole lot of thou shalt nots in there. And there's a lot of people like to stand up and say, I'm not doing these things. You show me where I've done wrong. I've not done any of this. Amen. Today, I've not murdered. I'm not stolen. I'm not killed. I've followed this law. Amen. Today, that man that came to Christ and called him a rabbi and said, good master. And he said, why callest thou me good? Amen. Today, there's none good save the Father. That's Jesus Christ speaking, right?
Amen.
There's a lot of people want to hold that up in front of themselves and say, I've not done anything wrong. So I will challenge you with this question today. What have you done? This book that I read to you from, the book of James, is really, really heavily about works. I'm not going to get into the works portion of this. Didn't read to you nothing about works. There's a lot more to it than just that. But I want you to know that faith without works, you'll find it in that same book, is dead.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's not just not doing anything. Oh, Lord.
Yes.
I work with men today. I work with men. And you'll talk to them and you'll say, I want you to go do this. I've been working in concrete for 30 years. Ain't nothing I got works right anymore. It hurts me to get up and get down. I attribute some of that to that. But that was my choice, right? That's what I chose to do. And I broke myself all to pieces doing it. And you know what? There I am.
Yeah.
Now, I learned a little bit of something doing that for 30 years. And when I ask a man, right now, I don't have to spend a lot of time on my tools, but when I ask a man, why didn't you go do that? You know what the most popular answer is, the most popular three words to start off the excuse is? I was afraid. I was afraid.
Yeah.
I was afraid that if I went down there and did that, that it's going to make a mess. So you didn't do nothing at all. And now look at it, because eventually that stuff gets hard. There's a time that you've got to work it.
Yeah.
There's a time that you're allowed to get in there and work that thing. I want you to promise you this now. There's a time you're allowed to get down and get some work done. There's a time to get down on your knees and get down and go to scrubbing and you can actually get something done. You can't stand by now. I'm telling you, when you take this, you've got to take the whole thing. You understand what I'm saying? Everything I'm preaching to you tonight is straight out of the book and it's not just one piece.
Yeah.
Amen.
A lot of us like to take that one piece and start forming our life around it. And folks, that is rampant today.
That's right. Don't worry. Lord help us.
There are a lot of people that I talk to. Do not hide your light. Do you hear me in that? Do not hide when you leave here. Do not be embarrassed to talk about the Lord. Read the book of Malachi. He said, because there were those that spoke about me, right? Mm-hmm. Made it myself a book of remembrance. And when I'd return, I'd gather my jewels unto me. You need to be able. Not just be able. When I say this to you, I'm not just talking about not being embarrassed. But now the Bible says when Christ was teaching, that the people were astounded at Christ. Why were they astounded at him and his doctrine? It's because that he spake as one with authority.
Yeah.
He wasn't there and he wasn't being argumentative. Why? Because he knew what he was talking about. Amen. Today, folks, when I'm talking to you about these things, it's things you're going to have to be bought into.
Amen.
You understand me? It's things that you have to actually believe.
That's right.
That's when you actually step out and start. start being productive is when you actually believe what it is you're doing, and you believe in what it is you're doing. If you believe in your cause, you will go to work for it. Bible says about the parable of parable of talents. He had the one that had the five. He went out and got five more. He had the one that had the two. And he went out and got two more. And he had the one that had the one. And he came back. And when he stood there, and he was charged with, where's your talent? He said, you gave me the one. I knew that you was a hard man. Gathered where you hadn't, reaped where you hadn't sowed. Gathered where you hadn't strawed. So I took your talent and I hid it in the earth. Because I was afraid.
Right.
There's nothing new under the sun, folks. Them same people, right? Still yet standing there, and that number one excuse being, I was afraid. Now I want to get, I want to get into, because when I say you need to be bought into these things, you need to know so that you're not turned. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father in heaven in whom there is no variableness. Neither shadow of turning. Now I want you to hear me. Your home is not a gift from God. Now I want you to hear me. I'm going to speak as one with authority to you. Your home is not a gift from God. The vehicle you drove in here this evening is not a gift from God. Don't get caught up in that.
Come on.
Your pool, your healthy family, your health is not a gift from God. What? No, it's not. You know, a lot of people are born and believing God don't have no health.
Go on.
There's a lot of people don't make it very long. And then within ourselves, we'll begin to think, you know, he must favor me a little more. Do not get caught up in that. God don't look at things like you and me look at them. God don't look at death like me and you look at it. We look at it as something terrible. Amen. Today, it ain't nothing to the Lord. What's that mean? It means, you know, that's what it said right there. And we read you here. You're just here for a little while. It's a flower of grass. It ain't long till you pass away and burn up. Amen. Today, God's eternal. God always has been. God always will be. You cannot fathom God. And God has created in you something that is eternal, something that longs to be back with Him. Bible says that God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And that man has a little bitty piece of you that longs to go back to Him, folks. And you need to retain that. And amen, that's what the gift from God is. You know why? I know that those other things we told you ain't gifts from God, because the Bible says, we've read in your hearing, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father in heaven. And amen, today ain't none of the things I told you about perfect. You're still working on it.
Amen. Come on.
Aggravating. I drove in here tonight in this white Jeep. I've had it for 11 years. And I like to get out on the weekends in it with my wife. I appreciate that. That is not a gift from God. There are times that I would like to drive it off a cliff. And it, now, I want you to get this. You're going to be tempted. And by the way, not a man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. And I'm getting to a point here. Let not a man say when I'm tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempteth he any man. And you can take every bit of this in the book of James, and you can pair it with the book of Job. Because Job, by the way, when, from God's own mouth, was a righteous man that escheweth evil. From God's own mouth, a righteous man. Have you considered my servant Job? For he is a righteous man that escheweth evil. Yeah, I've thought about him. You've got your hands around him. You've got a hedge built up about him. Why wouldn't he serve you? Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. God knew something about the man. That's why he asked.
Yeah.
I'm one of those daddies that I don't ask unless I already know the answer. If I ask my kids something about what they've been up to, I'll promise you I know the answer before that they start into telling me. Elseways, I wouldn't have asked. They figured that out, by the way. And so they stopped lying to me. You know? They learned to keep their mouth shut. But if I ask, they'll answer me. Have you thought about him? Yeah, I've thought about him. Well, everything he's got's yours. Now, that was all his flocks. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to give some consideration to what I'm telling you. What God gave you is your life. Amen. And what you're going to be measured on is what you did with that. And that's not what you accrued.
That's it. Amen.
That's not property.
Yeah.
I get that. I want you to hear me on that. Uh-huh. You know what's going to happen to all that property when you're gone? Your kids don't want it. And they're going to sell it and get what they can get out of it. And all them things that you cared so much about ain't going to be given a second thought. That's true. Why? Because those are the things. And I want you to get this, because we prioritize things and we're wrong.
Yeah.
In our priorities.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I've been mad because I've had stuff took from me. And I got mad. Throwed fits. Some of that's got to do with why I'm so busted up now. I stood here and preached one time about Samson being all busted up down there, right? He didn't have to be in that kind of shape. He chose to be where he was at. He could have went right on and been the Lord's champion. That's what he could have been. Amen. It didn't make no difference. Jonah didn't have to get puked up by that whale neither. God had prepared that thing. And when he jumped out of that boat, when he didn't want to be there, amen, today, you know what we'll do? Because we'll lose something, because we don't want to do something, because we don't want to go somewhere. Amen. Today, we'll jump out and we ain't going to have no part with it. We'll resist God right up to the very bitter end.
God help us.
You ain't got to be in that shape.
That's right.
And you know what?
Amen.
If you could just let all that other stuff go,
amen,
you can start being something for the Lord.
Yeah. God help us. Amen.
Jeff, I have worked so hard to get where I am. You know, Solomon did too. You know what he had to say about all that? He done it in vain. That's what he said. He said, everything that I've done that wasn't done to serve the Lord, I've done in vain. All that given to you right here. And every day we're able to read it. You know what? I understand what Christ had to say when he asked the disciples, how long am I going to have to keep telling you people this? Thank God some of them got it. Peter and John, right now, silver and gold have I none. They was out. They didn't have nothing.
Amen.
It wasn't the kingdom, by the way, that they thought it was going to be. I want you to get this. Them people was following him, and they was right there with him. His disciples was right there, just like that other group of people was out there with him for the loaves and the fishes.
That's right.
Them people that was following him, they had their own agendas. And until he was crucified, they thought they were going to get to see their agendas through. God did not seek Christ to further your agenda.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. He didn't send him here so you can be better than everybody else. That's why, you want to know why churches like real churches. Now, I'm telling you, there's a difference. You know why real churches are failing? Because we're better than everybody else. There's some facts for you folks. Because we're better. Why? Because the Lord made me so. No.
Right.
The Lord made you what you are.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then what you do with it, that's
God
left to you. That's what we're judged on. And it ain't that feeling of superiority. God ain't backing you up in that.
That's
you know why? Because them people that's in sin, I want you to get this,
amen,
them people that's in sin is in the same place that you were.
That's
if you know the Lord.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
There ought to be a little sympathy. There ought to be a little empathy for them people, because I know where they come from.
Amen.
I know exactly where they come from. Now, I want to touch on this. I'm going to touch on this. I think it should go without saying, but I'm going to touch on this. Because we spend a lot of time arguing about things, and I told you I didn't get called to argue.
Yeah.
But there is so much going around today. Today, this prosperity theology and doctrine that's being spread today because that you are what you are successful, and you are greater, and you are more, and I am blessed and highly favored. I want you to consider, if that's ever entered into your mind, I want you to consider Christ, who hung on a cross and cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Christ, who twice the heavens opened up.
Right.
At his baptism, yeah, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom, yeah, I am well pleased. Yeah. Hear ye him. Foxes have holes, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head." He never owned anything, folks. He never owned any property. He never had anything, any sort of possession. You know what that did for him? If you ain't got nothing, folks, you've got nothing to lose. It was not tied to the world in any fashion. Yeah. You want to be like Christ? Get untied. Get away from the world and don't tie yourself down. Amen. Amen. Today, all these things that we've got that we like to call blessings from God, we spend every second of our open time trying to pay for them, trying to be away from the things that God has actually set us to do.
Help us, God. Amen. God help us. Amen.
Now, Paul says to Timothy to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We're pretty good about reproving and rebuking. We're not so great on the exhorting sometimes. When I'm standing here, I don't want you to take any of this as reproof or rebuke. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't be standing here preaching this to you if it wasn't something that I didn't feel and something that I did not experience and something that I did not know personally. I've spent the past 30 years doing things that I was brought up to do. You know, culturally, I'm going to tell you this right now. We look around, and I mean, you know, this is a blue-collar church, right? So let me give you some blue-collar facts. I work in labor, and a lot of organized labor. I was talking to a friend of mine in organized labor, and we were talking about what we've got coming up because you can't get people to work. Now, I came up through an apprenticeship program, and I came up with men who would point at me and say, "You people are going to be the end of all good things." But, you know, we've been saying that to apprentices as long as they've been work, because you get these kids, they don't know nothing, they mess up. Oh, they ain't even trying to mess up. Now, the Lord lets me live to January 1st, I'll be 50. You know who them kids are that's right there in that demographic? Mine. What I want you to understand is that we failed our own kids. They wouldn't be in that shape. I mean, I did what I was taught to do, what I was made to do, right? And what I'm getting at in that is that we create cultures. I did the things that I felt like was right. I felt like they were right. It was what I was taught to do. You need to go to work. You need to support your family. You need to be a man, right? I don't disagree with any of that. But what I did was I just immersed myself 2 hours from home, and I stayed there. And I come home, and I slept, and I kept bringing in paychecks. I kept, you know. And then what I would do is I would hold up the law and say, "I'm not really, I'm doing everything right. I'm trying to support my family." You can make it work for you.
Mm-hmm. Lord help me.
Don't.
Right.
Because that don't work.
Amen.
Because that's failure.
Amen.
Amen. In the end, it's the Lord.
Yeah.
In the end, you get a little age on you. You get to being like Solomon. You get to saying, "Hey, you know, I messed that up."
Amen.
So I'm standing here today telling you, don't mess this up. Don't listen to your parents. What? Don't. But I'm going to tell you this, what you do need to do is you need to build an altar. You You need to start praying about what the Lord have you to do.
Amen.
And then when he tells you, because he will, you get a relationship with God will talk to you.
Amen.
And then when he tells you, go do it.
Amen.
Don't argue with him. Amen. Don't tell him about all the things that you could be doing or all the reasons that you've got why you can't, silver and gold, have enough. Do you know why they're out there walking around? Well, I'll tell you right now, that's something better anyway, right? That man sitting there couldn't walk. Silver and gold have enough. That such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise, take up thy bed and walk.
Yeah.
Ain't that better?
Yeah.
Now what, man? Elijah did not call down fire from God. That wasn't Elijah's fire. You get that, right?
That's right.
Moses did not part the Red Sea. You see this depicted a lot of times with failing our children. Right. Moses did not part the Red Sea. God did that.
Amen.
God gave him a staff. You know why God gave him a staff? They need to be some separation made because it never was the man.
Right.
Yeah.
You stand up there and you hold that thing out and you say, and that's what he said, stand still. Now Moses done what he said.
Right.
Moses done what he told him. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord parted that
Amen.
Sea.
That's right.
Right.
You see all these people. And a lot of times we like to attribute it to them. And that's our excuse. I am not them. I am not David. I'm not the three Hebrew children. There ain't nothing stopping you from being that, other than the fact that you don't want
yeah.
to be.
Amen.
Help us go.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Think it not strange when you enter into divers temptations. That's not a strange thing. Oh, I don't think you can see them, but on my thumbs, I got matching scars or different periods of my life. I don't have any tattoos, by the way. I don't have any tattoos because I got scars. I mean, I got real scars, top to bottom. I got one here and one here. I got one here and I got like dozens in between. And I can tell you where I was at and what I was doing because, you know, that's memorable. But these right here caused me to, I don't feel a lot right in here. And I drop a lot of stuff. Now I'm getting older. Everything I pick up, I drop. And then it's hard for me to get down and get it. And then when I do turn around, I knock something else off a shelf. And I want to burn my whole house down. I mean, just in a second, right? It'll start out with picking something off a shelf. And then the next thing I know, the whole kitchen's laying full of stuff that I've knocked over. And I want to light a match and burn it all down. No man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with sin. You know what it takes to tempt me? Just a few things falling off the shelf.
Yeah.
That's what it takes to tempt me.
Yeah, Lord.
Just that constant aggravation. And then what we read to you in the fourth chapter. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know why he's constantly on your back? Because you ain't resisting.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give up to God.
Yeah.
You want to be powerful and see good things in life. And I'm going to tell you, it's not all going to be good.
Yeah.
If you're going to follow the Lord, by the way, I want you to get this. He opened the door for Satan. All right, there he is. Why? Because it's not about this life anyway.
Yeah.
It's not.
Amen. God help us.
And all those things Amen. Are not the salvation of your soul. And that's what's important.
Amen.
That's within you is close to the Lord. That you're able. You know, when you get down and pray and, you know, you say a few words. By the way, there's times we get down and we obligatory. We'll get down and pray. But, you know, when we get up, kind of in the same shape we went down in. And then there's them times when you get down there and you drop your head and you draw a breath and you wait for a second. And there he is.
Yeah. Amen.
You know the difference, right?
Amen.
If you've done much praying, you know
right.
the difference.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
I want to encourage you, you need to get to the point that every time that you get down
yep.
and you draw that breath, there he is.
That's right. Amen.
You need that kind of relationship. That way you're not worried about all those other things.
Amen.
Job's worried about other things, right? He's worried about his children. The Bible says he made sacrifices for all of his children. You know what that got him? All of them's dead. He had his friends come in. We do that. We're bad about that. We'll look out there and see them people. You know what? God's judging them people. When they saw him from a long ways off, the Bible says they rent their clothes and fell down on their face. Two chapters later, they're all in there getting on. You've done something. God wouldn't allow you to be in this shape.
Yeah.
Then we get to the place where that we're finally like, I don't know why God's let me get in this shape. Job 38:3. God spoke. Girded thy loins now as a man. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. Because the Lord spoke to me like that. The Lord got tired of me being a victim. I'm going to tell you right now, God despises a victim.
That's right. The Lord helps.
I like the way Tommy put it about being lukewarm and spewing you out of my mouth. Vomit. God despises a victim.
That's right.
Look at me down here in this shape. Why'd you let me get like this? The Lord gave you life. The Lord gave you some sense. And get up out of it. Now, you're going to get up out of the sackcloth and ashes and gird up your loins as a man, and you're about to ask. I'm going to ask, and you're going to answer me. And he said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And for another four chapters, he gets on it. Once more, again, that 40th chapter, he says to him again, gird up thy loins as a man. I'm going to ask you. And then, at the end of that, about the 42nd chapter, Job says, I'm going to put my hand in my mouth.
That's right. Because
I didn't know.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. It's terrible. But it seems that seems to be the shape that we have to get into before we finally start listening.
Amen. Right.
You don't have to be in that shape. I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to be in that shape. You can give up early.
Amen.
You can give up before it comes today.
Amen.
You can say, that's it. I'm yours.
That's right.
Surrender everything you've got to the Lord. Do not get caught up and do not express. I'm telling you, I say this. I would also like to say, take this moment to say that all of my children are working and working hard and making it. They, of course, had to. They didn't like living at my house, and they went to work so they could get out. But they did it. And in all honesty, I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty proud of where they're at. All right? I'm saying that. But what I'm telling you is that's not just that. It's not just that. I want you to get this. We give people outs in that, right? There are expectations, and our expectations ought not be, I want to tell you this, your expectation ought not be just be sure you're in church. Don't express that to your children. Now, some of you are going to go, but Jeff, I'm telling you, do not express just you should be in church. That's not enough.
That's right. They love Jesus.
They need to know the Lord.
Amen.
They need a personal experience with God.
That's right.
Have you had a personal experience with God? I was saved when I was 8 years old at Pine Top Church. I was standing at the back. I'd been fighting it because I fought the whole time. 8 years old, I still fight. Lord, no! I don't want to go up there. You know, it's just that everything's hard. It wasn't that hard. You know what happened when I finally made a step? I'm going to tell you, I was standing at the door like all kids, right? Church is over. Went through the handshake. All the kids is back there at the door like you're fixing to open the corral, right? Waiting on prayer to be said. It was all banged up back there. And the Lord was on me. And I kept telling him, Lord, just give me another week. When I come back, just don't let me die. I've been praying tonight. Please, God, don't let me die. Let me get back to church. Then I got there, and the Lord's like, come on, Jeff. And I'm like, no. Then I stepped out of them kids. I made one step. And when I made one step, you know what happened? Where I went. And I got to here. I got to right here. I got to right there. And I ducked in. I wasn't even controlling myself. Right here, wasn't even in control of myself. I finally pulled it together and went in there. And my daddy recognized what was going on, came back, asked me if I need to pray.
Yeah.
Folks, I want you to understand this. Nothing like that has ever happened to me. Nothing ever happened to me like that before. Nothing's ever happened to me like that since.
Amen.
Have you had that experience, first of all?
Amen.
And that's, by the way, is what we need to be looking for. When we're talking to our kids, they need to understand that that's what they need. It's not the fact that you're in church. Right? We need people that knows the Lord. We need people that are willing to surrender to the Lord. We need people that need to not worry about their social standing. We need people that need not worry about what they're going to drive in or what they're going to wear when they come to church on Sunday morning. We need people to be bought into the fact that the Lord loves them, and He loves them just like they are, and it don't make no difference about how many teeth they got or how they come in physically or what it is that they own or whether or not they walk. What's going on with them, that the Lord loves them, and that this place is designed so that they might be able to gather here and worship.
Right. Amen. God help us. Amen.
I'll say this, I'm going to close. I know more that's going on in Petros and Wartburg than I know about what's going on in Blount County, because that's where I work. Right? I've been working at Whitewell and ORNL and on those campuses and TVA, and I work with the same core group of people, regardless of where or what project that I'm on. It's that same core group of people. You understand? We just travel around doing whatever, wherever the work's going on at the time. I built combined cycle plants at John Sevier and at Paradise in Kentucky. And I finished up Watch Bar 2, the Highland Rich Uranium Materials Facility at Y-12. The Uranium Processing Facility is my current position at Y-12. And I've seen a lot of major, the Splashes Neutron Source. I started out there in 2002. And that same group of people I've been working with for about 20 years. Most of those people live close to work. And so like I said, community-wise, I know more about what's going on in those areas. And so I started a job with a new employer. I can't tell you how many W-2s I've filled out in my life. 1 year there were 26. I did 26 in 1 year. Just one job to the next, right? But I've recently started for a new employer, and some of that is been doing work in this area. And there are things that I just wasn't aware of. I don't understand, and this is not a complaint. This is something just, and I know that it comes up, just food for thought. We've seen a lot of decline in our churches, and we've seen, and a lot of those folks just didn't just quit. They went somewhere. There are a lot of people that are being led astray. There are a lot of people that are being lied to and being told that they're just fine and that everything's going to be fine. They're being taken in and by doctrine and by theology that is not founded on the Lord at all. So when I want to end with this. I wasn't aware of that. I really wasn't. Because you don't have places like that over there where I'm working out of, right? So there's a need right now. And by the way, the reason I say that is because that I've had to have a lot of conversations with people of late that are not in that circle that I'm used to traveling in. And all of a sudden, I am taken aback by what's being preached and what's being taught.
That's right.
All right? And then when I stand there, what I hear is people that are kind of argumentative and people that are, well, what about this? And then what I see pastors and they're all children. I say that because I'm turning white in the face. But they're all young men. And Timothy, Paul says, not a novice, right? And they would stand and say things that aren't really correct, but, we're heaping unto ourselves teachers having itching ears. Now, I know, by the way, this is coming.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. And, I here's something else. I'm prepared for it. I'm going to go into it smiling. I am. I know a lot of you are, but I'm going to go into this smiling. I believe wholly. This is, we're cranking into the end. I don't believe, Now, here's another thing. Here's a little something else for you. If you want to just get into things and believe, I don't believe that the Lord's coming back tomorrow. I believe it's going to be suffering. I believe it lays that out in Revelation. I believe it's going to be suffering. And I believe it's going to be an age of it. I believe it's going to get way worse. And when I say that, I mean, I'm telling you things that I believe deep down in my heart. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going into it smiling. Why? Because I'm the Lord's.
Yeah. Amen.
14th chapter of Romans is my favorite chapter in the Bible. James is my favorite book in the Bible. My favorite chapter in the Bible, singular chapter. Verse is 38 and 3, Job. My favorite chapter, 14th chapter of Romans. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Whether we live, we live in the Lord, and whether we die in the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Hallelujah. I'm the Lord's. Whatever he wants from me.
That's it.
You understand? That's what them men were saying when they were talking to Nebuchadnezzar about what God's going to deliver you out of my hand.
That's
what they were saying. We're the Lord's.
Amen.
And we'll go right off in there. Why? Because he's got something greater for us. And amen, today, did we not cast three men bound into that fire? Hey, you got to know him when he's there, right? Before that he ever came, I want you to get this, before he ever came, behold, I see four men loose and walking around, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen, today, heathen men standing there recognizing that Roman soldier that was standing at the foot of the cross. Now, when everything blacked out, when God turned his back on him and things started falling apart, earth started quaking, darkness on the face of the earth, surely this must be the Son of God. That's where I'm going with.
Amen.
Right there. And he didn't have nothing. He had everything.
Yeah.
You understand? All power in heaven and earth given to him. And he didn't use it for his own gain. He walked down here and he was a servant so you could see what the goal is.
Yeah.
That's all I got, Brother Tommy.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Come get us home. If there's anything that stands in your life that is greater than God, you know, the advice that the Lord gave him was, he said, if your eye bends, you pluck it out.
Amen.
Now, that's hard to deal with. Right? He said, if your hand bothers you, cut it off. Now, I don't know, but if you allow something in your life to become greater than God, get rid of it.
Amen.
That's not worth having.
That's right.
Anything, you see, it's not worth having. And I can assure you it's not of God if it gets into his spot.
That's right.
If it becomes more important than him. Anything. Anyone. There's nothing greater than him. You either sold out for God or you just living partial. Right? And you can't do both, right? You can't love one and love the other.
Amen.
We love the world, friend. The love of the Father's not in us. That's what he said. And we just lie about that stuff. God help us to be honest enough to say, it's all yours, right? We do that. Right? A lot of us do. We say, it's all yours. But the minute he snatched it from us, we'd cry like babies.
Yeah.
Right? And we'd say, God, why are you punishing me? You just said it was all here.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, we've got to really mean that.
Amen.
We've got to really mean it. That there is nothing in this world that is not his.
That's right.
Amen. Boy, when we grow up spiritually into that, we're fixing to win the battle. Right? You know, the victories are won when we loose ourselves from everything in this world that binds us. I know the doctrine itself is countercultural in the least, but it goes against who we are.
Amen.
And yet what God's saying for us to do is to let go. Right? No more training wheels. I just want you to trust me. And we know, I'm not going to try to add anything. I appreciate the challenge that came in the message. I don't know if you got it, but I got it. There was a challenge in there. And I want to make certain. I don't know about you, but I've got one goal. That's to see him.
And when I see him, I want to have left here running. Right? No regret. I want to have given it all, whatever he required. You can't be tied to this world. We've got to put it in his hands and quit taking it back. We've got to leave it to God and trust him. What's he want you to do? Well, you ain't prayed enough to know.
Amen.
Right? And you blame God for not being clear. It ain't God that's the problem.
That's right.
You want to know, he can tell you. Right? The psalmist was clear in 119 when he said, make me to know. Right? Teach me the way of thy precepts. You think God can teach you? I do. I believe he can. James said it as well. Many men lacks wisdom, let him ask of God.
Amen.
God don't hold that back. The problem is that we're not seeking God's will, not God's way. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for the message. I'm going to give you an invitation tonight. I don't know your heart, but I know this. There's nothing in this life more important than Christ. And I can also say this, as we progress into what he was talking about, right? You've heard it over and over for months. As we get closer toward the end, it gets harder. It will get harder. I did not say it will get worse. It will get harder. I believe it gets better. Right? He's talking about going into it smiling. I believe that suffering is the key to better. You can't show me a place in the scripture where people of God went into suffering but they weren't shouting. Chain them to walls and they're shouting. They're praising God. You say, why? Because the Holy Spirit, that's what it bears witness in. That's where it works. That's where the power of God is revealed, and that's where they see the glory of God. It's not worse. It's better. But it is hard, and we have to be ready. We've got to turn loose of everything that holds us back from being men and women of faith.
Amen.
Right? Not on the milk, but on the meat. Well, thank the Lord. Stand as we sing. If you're here tonight, need to believe.